Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the program that gets you caught up on all the latest happenings and what's going on in the NBA. I tell you what, man, the play-in tournament was very interesting. That's wrapped up. We're going to get more into that in just a little bit. And also, on this week's program, have an interview with Vince Quinn, host for the National Sports Radio Network, CBS Sports Radio, and also local station Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about the latest happenings with the Philadelphia 76ers and so much more. First things first, we've got to get to our top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the play-in tournament. The play-in tournament became a phenomenon last season when the NBA was in the bubble down in Florida. And the play-in tournament got some attention, it got some hype, and it made its return this season. The games were hit and miss. The Hornets and the Pacers game had no excitement at all in that contest. There was no excitement in the Wizards and the Celtics game. However, the Spurs and Grizzlies game in the play-in tournament provided a lot of hype, and so did the Warriors and the Lakers. And then the Wizards would beat the Pacers again. That game provided no excitement. However, the Grizzlies and Warriors would end the play-in tournament on a bright note, going to overtime with the Grizzlies winning the game. Commissioner Adam Silver said that the play-in tournament would become a long-term deal. I'm not so sure about that. I still lean more towards the old-school approach where you have to battle it out for the regular season. You can claim the 8 seeds in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. I get it that, you know, they had a condensed season this season. Of course, there was the bubble last year, but I don't know. I'm still leaning more towards so of the traditional approach where you earn your stripes, you earn your wins during the regular season, and therefore you qualify for the top 8 seeds in your respective conferences. I don't know, but Adam Silver says this is going to be a long-term thing, so I don't know. We'll stay tuned for that. But again, in my opinion, the play-in tournament, again, it had a lot of low lights, but it also had highlights as well. It had its moments. So, well, we'll stay tuned and to just see what's going on with that in the future of the play-in tournament. My next storyline is going to be LeBron James. Man, LeBron, time and time again, he shows up and he shows out in more ways than one. LeBron hit the game-winning three-pointer in the play-in tournament to help the Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors during the week. The final score was 103-100. With that victory, the Lakers would go on to earn the 7th seed. They will go on to play the Phoenix Suns in the first round of the playoffs. You know, LeBron has been the second half of the 2020-2021 season has been injury plagued for him, battling through the ankle injury and wondering how effective he would be. And since he's come back from his injury, he's been hit and miss. He's had his flashes, but not LeBron before the injury. LeBron before the All-Star break was an MVP candidate. He was showing his worth. He was proving his worth. And then the injury came right in the middle of March. And, you know, when he came back, he was hit-miss. He had little flashes to him. But LeBron, again, when the pressure is on and when it's playoff time, LeBron James, he shows up and he showed out. And he wound up knocking down the three-pointer to give the Lakers the win, 103-100. It's going to be interesting how LeBron shows up in this playoff series coming up against the Phoenix Suns again. They say he's not healthy. It looks like he's going to. The sources are saying that it looks like he's going to be playing on one leg. So this is going to be interesting going forward with his health, and especially in what's going to be a tough series against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, every team is strong and every team is tough in the Western Conference. So it's going to be interesting what happens with LeBron going forward in this playoff run. And for my last storyline, man, it's going to be the end of an era. 60 years, Marv Albert has dedicated his life to broadcasting NBA basketball. And we know Marv, of course, his association with the MSG Network, covering being a play-by-play announcer for Madison Square Garden Network, doing the play-by-play announcing for the New York Knicks, and also having a long relationship with NBC Sports, not only covering college basketball and also college football and other assignments, but most people know him for the NBA on NBC, and also his current position with Turner Sports doing the NBA on TNT. Excuse me. So, you know, Marv Albert, congratulations to him. What a fantastic career that he's had, just doing all sorts of assignments, including, such as doing the NFL and boxing, and also doing the NHL All-Star Games, and just a Major League Baseball, just a ton of just assignments. But I mean, he's going to be more synonymous with being doing the NBA coverage, not just on the NBA on NBC, but also doing his stuff locally in the New York metropolitan area with the New York Knicks. And also he did some games for the Nets when they were playing in New Jersey before they moved to Brooklyn. But again, congratulations on a great career by Marv Albert, and wish him nothing but the best of luck. And definitely Marv was a pioneer in training the next generation of broadcasters. Of course, he has brothers, Al and Steve Albert, who are still doing their thing in the broadcasting industry, and his son Kenny is been phenomenal and continues to do things in the world of sports broadcasting. So again, congratulations to Marv Albert. All right, when we come back from the break, I'll have the league leaders, the standings, and I'll give you the playoff matchups for the 2021 NBA playoffs. But first, I'm going to leave you with some audio from Marv Albert. The first audio was going to be from his call in the 1991 NBA Finals with Michael Jordan and the famous switch hands layup. And also another audio bit is going to be from Marv in the 1993 NBA playoffs with John Starks doing his famous dunk on the Chicago Bulls. We'll be right back.
Fire away. He's now 1 for 9. The look away to Livingston. Jordan. Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. That's 13 consecutive field goals. Crucial free throws missed by Conklin. And the Knicks lead remains at 3. We're down. Left in the fourth quarter. Starks. Yes! What a move by Starks, who was able to sky to the basket. The Bulls call for time.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
That it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, let's get you caught up on the league leaders let's give you the final league leaders in the 2020-2021 NBA season. Let's start off with points per game. The leading scorer in the NBA for the 2020-21 season is Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. He averaged 32 points per game. And then coming in number two is Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards, averaging 31.3 points per game. Coming in third place is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, averaging 28.8 points per game. Coming in fourth is Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers, averaging 28.5 points per game. And in the fifth spot is Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks, averaging 28.1 points per game during the 2020-2021 season. Congratulations to Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors for winning the NBA scoring title. The next category is rebounds per game. Finishing the year leading in the rebound category is Clint Capella from the Atlanta Hawks, averaging 14 rebounds a game. Coming in at number two is Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz, averaging 13.5 rebounds per game. Coming in third is Jonas Valanciunas from the Memphis Grizzlies, averaging 12.5 rebounds per game. Coming in at fourth is Domantas Sabonis from the Indiana Pacers, averaging 12 assists 12 rebounds per game. And coming in at fifth is Nikola Vucevic from the Chicago Bulls. He averaged 11 rebounds per game for the season. Congratulations to Clint Capella on leading the league in rebounds this year in the NBA. The next category is assists per game. Finishing the lead in assists per game is Russell Westbrook from the Washington Wizards. He averaged 11 assists per game. Coming in at number two is Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks, averaging 9 assists per game. Coming in third is Chris Paul from the Phoenix Suns. And fourth is Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors. And in the fifth spot is Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double himself, for leading the league all season long in assists. Next category is steals per game. Jimmy Butler finished the season leading the league in steals per game. He averaged 2 steals per game. Coming in at number two is T.J. McConnell from the Indiana Pacers. Coming in at third is Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. In the fourth spot is Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors. And in the fifth spot is Jrue Holiday from the Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations to Jimmy Butler finishing with the leading the league all season long in steals. Next category is blocks per game. Leading the league in blocks per game is Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz. He averaged 2.6 blocks per game. Coming in third is Nerlens Noel from the New York Knicks. Coming in second place is Nerlens Noel from the New York Knicks. Coming in third is Clint Capella from the Atlanta Hawks. Coming in fourth place is Chris Boucher from the Toronto Raptors. And coming in lead and finishing off in fifth is Jakob Poeltl from the San Antonio Spurs. Congratulations to Rudy Gobert for leading the league all season long in blocks per game. Rudy also finished leading the league. He led the league also in field goal percentage. He shot 67% from the field. Coming in at number two is Rashawn Holmes from the Sacramento Kings, followed by Robin Lopez in the third spot. Coming in at fourth is DeAndre Ayton from the Phoenix Suns. And at fifth is Montrezl Harrell from the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, congratulations to Rudy Gobert for leading the league all season long in field goal percentage. Next category is three-point percentage. Joe Harris from the Brooklyn Nets led the NBA in three-point percentage. He shot 47% from the field. Coming in at number two is Marcus Morris from the Los Angeles Clippers. In third is Bobby Portis from the Milwaukee Bucks. Coming in at fourth is Brent Forbes from the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the fifth spot is Joe Ingles from the Utah Jazz. Next category is three-point field goals made. Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors led the league in three-point field goals made with 337. Coming in at number two is Buddy Hield from the Sacramento Kings. In the third spot is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. Also coming in at fourth is Duncan Robinson from the Miami Heat. And in the fifth spot is Terry Rozier from the Charlotte Hornets. Next category is free throw percentage. Chris Paul led the league in free throw percentage from the Phoenix Suns. He shot 93% from the free throw line. Coming in at number two is Damian Lillard, followed by in the third spot is Danilo Gallinari from the Atlanta Hawks. Coming in at fourth is Kyrie Irving from the Brooklyn Nets. And then in fifth is Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. And the last category is minutes per game. Julius Randle from the New York Knicks led the league in minutes per game. He averaged 37.6 minutes per game. Coming in at number two is James Harden from the Brooklyn Nets, followed by Fred VanVleet is third, followed by Russell Westbrook at fourth, and then in fifth place is Harrison Barnes from the Sacramento Kings. And those were the league leaders during the 2020-2021 NBA season. Let's get you caught up now on the standings. In the Eastern Conference, the Philadelphia 76ers finished as the number one seed with a record of 49 wins and 23 losses. The Brooklyn Nets came in second place with a record of 48 wins and 24 losses. The Milwaukee Bucks are the third seed. They have a record of 46 wins and 26 losses. The New York Knicks are the fourth seed, followed by the Atlanta Hawks are the fifth seed. Both the Knicks and the Hawks have a record of 41 and 31. The Miami Heat are the sixth seed with a record of 40 and 32. The Boston Celtics are the seventh seed. They have a record of 36 and 36. And the Washington Wizards finish with the 8 seed, they have a record of 34-38. And, of course, eliminated from playoff contention were Indiana, Charlotte, Chicago, Toronto, Cleveland, Orlando, and Detroit. Let's move along now to the Western Conference. The Utah Jazz are the number one seed. They have a record of 52 wins and 20 losses. Coming in at number two are the Phoenix Suns with a record of 51-21. The Denver Nuggets are third with a record of 47-25. The Los Angeles Clippers are the fourth seed. They also have a record of 47-25. The Dallas Mavericks are the fifth seed, followed by the Portland Trail Blazers are the sixth seed. Both teams have a record of 42-30, and also the Los Angeles Lakers, who are the seventh seed, they also have a record of 42-30. And the Memphis Grizzlies are the eighth seed. They finish with a record of 38-34. Golden State, San Antonio, New Orleans, Sacramento, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Houston have all been eliminated. So those are the standings for the 2020-2021 regular season. Now let's get you caught up on the playoff matchups. Starting off in the Eastern Conference, the number one seed Philadelphia 76ers will square off against the 8 seed Washington Wizards. Next, we have the number two seed Brooklyn Nets will go up against the 7 seed Boston Celtics. The 3rd seed will be the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the 6 seed Miami Heat. And the 4th seed, the New York Knicks, will go up against the 5th seed, Atlanta Hawks. And now over on the Western Conference side, the number 1 seed, Utah Jazz, will go up against the 8th seed, Memphis Grizzlies. The number 2 seed, Phoenix Suns, will go up against the 7th seed, Los Angeles Lakers. The 3rd seed, Denver Nuggets, will go up against the 6th seed, Portland Trail Blazers. And the 4th seed, the Los Angeles Clippers, will go up against the 5th seed, the Dallas Mavericks. So those are the playoff matchups for on the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference side. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that was your information on the league leaders and standings during the 2020-2021 NBA regular season. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an exclusive interview with Vince Quinn, the nationally syndicated host for CBS Sports Radio and also a local host for Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're going to talk some Philadelphia 76ers basketball, also some other things going on with the organization. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
Think you're busy?
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
You've never met Jessica, mother of six. I'm the dedicated Pella Window and Door Advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Think you're busy? You've never met Jessica, mother of six.
I'm the dedicated Pella Window and Door Advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
That's the sound of one of my favorite customers ever. His name's Jeremy. His dad, Frank, called me when it was time to replace their drafty old windows and to take advantage of our limited time sale. As a dedicated Pella advisor, I make getting new windows and doors simple. And when it comes to installation, nobody does it like Pella. Our local team can typically install in just a day.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Jake and Christine knew they needed help renovating their dream home. As a Pella advisor, I make sure every step of getting new windows and doors is smooth, including setting you up with our Pella Care Guarantee. It covers everything from product to installation with some of the strongest warranties in the industry.
Help elevate the look of your home with special offers from Pella of Baton Rouge. Add in our industry-leading reputation and one thing becomes clear. It's a perfect time for Pella. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Who's the guy we
think you're busy? You've never met Jessica, mother of six. I'm the dedicated Pella Window and Door Advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Talked about it.
Jake and Christine knew they needed help renovating their dream home. As a Pella advisor, I make sure every step of getting new windows and doors is smooth, including setting you up with our Pella Care Guarantee. It covers everything from product to installation with some of the strongest warranties in the industry.
Help elevate the look of your home with special offers from Pella of Baton Rouge. Add in our industry-leading reputation and one thing becomes clear. It's a perfect time for Pella. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
On the spot.
Think you're busy? You've never met Jessica, mother of six. I'm the dedicated Pella Window and Door Advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Think you're busy? You've never met Jessica, mother of six. I'm the dedicated Pella Window and Door Advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Jake and Christine knew they needed help renovating their dream home. As a Pella advisor, I make sure every step of getting new windows and doors is smooth, including setting you up with our Pella Care Guarantee. It covers everything from product to installation with some of the strongest warranties in the industry.
Help elevate the look of your home with special offers from Pella of Baton Rouge. Add in our industry-leading reputation and one thing becomes clear. It's a perfect time for Pella. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
Ball pressure.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
...is going to be directed at him. Was Mason Plumlee really trying to go behind his back?
Well,
yeah,
so,
but Mason Plumlee?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Got to know your limitations.
He's a pick-and-roll guy, I thought.
And that was a breakout season in Denver. After what he did in the playoffs last year, garnered much more attention. Watch this again. He posts up off the block, so you figure your work is done, but then he backs you down.
Appearing in the NBA and scoring 20 a night.
Incredible family, incredibly nice people as well. Some people leave early and it works for them. Some a little tougher, a little more circuitous route.
11 turnovers, they average just under 15. Embiid has it on Cruz.
Have her back home. It's going to be a tremendous year for the WNBA and hopefully for Mrs. Parker.
Some rhythm here in this game. And streaking down the floor and scoring Tyrese Maxey. We
found it was a little bit of toughness added on.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. And, of course, that was 76ers center Joel Embiid in action with the Sixers win over the Detroit Pistons. And then Tyrese Maxey, man, what a rookie year he's had this year. The Sixers guard scored 30 points in the Sixers victory over the Orlando Magic just some time ago. And I have a gentleman that's been covering not just Philadelphia sports, but particularly the Sixers and this great season that they've had this year. We want to welcome a man that works for Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia, which is owned by CBS Sports Radio, a gentleman that never has a dull moment, especially never a dull moment in the city of Philadelphia, and especially when it comes to the Sixers. Let's welcome Vince Quinn. Hey, Vince, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ed, thanks for having me. What's going on?
Oh, man, a lot is going on, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. What a difference a year makes. Last year, the NBA experienced the bubble. Of course, we know what's currently going on right now, still dealing with the pandemic. So the 76ers, last season, they were the sixth seed. This year, they are the number one seed entering the Eastern Conference playoffs. In your opinion, Vince, what's the biggest difference between last year's team and this year's team?
Oh, my God. That's a hell of a question. Okay, legitimacy. I mean, it's legitimacy on a lot of different levels. Your general manager is a legitimate general manager. Daryl Morey is one of the best in the business. Doc Rivers is one of the better coaches in the NBA. It's a massive upgrade from Brett Brown. And from there, you see the trickle-down of, like, okay, well, once you get all those things in line, well, Joel Embiid figures a lot of things out because for him, he's mentally been all over the place, and he's wanted to be the guy that he is this year, but it took him all this time in the right direction to finally get to that spot. So you see the growth in Embiid. He becomes a legitimate top-of-the-line, number one MVP kind of player. You see Tobias Harris and the growth that he makes. You build a starting lineup that makes sense around these guys, right, with Seth Curry coming in, Danny Green coming in. And so when you see what the whole picture is now, this looks and feels like a team that makes sense. It's professional. It's proven in a lot of different ways. And you can't help but be excited, man. I'm so excited about the way this team's been able to turn things around this year. It's been incredible.
Indeed, it has been incredible. And you mentioned all of the key elements of the 76ers team, Vince, with Daryl Morey becoming the general, becoming the president of the team, becoming the president of the team after spending some time with the Houston Rockets. And, of course, Doc Rivers in his first year as the head coach, he's been outstanding. And we're going to kind of get more into them, more into those key components in just a little bit. Let's talk about Joel Embiid for a moment. People have questioned his leadership skills. People are saying that Joel, as you mentioned, mentally has been in a wreck for quite some time. But this year he's really stepped up his game. How do you see Joel? What do you make of Joel in terms of his leadership skills? And how big of a role has Doc Rivers played in all of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, the leadership skills have gotten so much better over the years because part of it is his own accountability. I mean, he's had times where, I mean, he comes and goes with games on occasion, especially with the Sixers over the past couple of years. Prior to this year, they had games on the road where they just laid down and died, and they were bad opponents. Like, they were games they should have won. But to have an amazing home record and a terrible road record, part of that is on Embiid and the mentality of the team and all those different things. So for him, he's really figured things out to the point where not only is he giving you everything he's got every single night and the consistency is there and the way that he's talking to the media and all those different things, it's all there. But at the end of the season here, you've had moments where, for example, he's talked about how he's just trying to get his other teammates their confidence up before the playoffs. And that's exactly what you want to hear from this kind of guy. Like, he's getting not just himself, but the bigger picture and the role that he plays within all of that. Because you've seen the tools with Embiid as a leader. There's no doubt about it. He's been that guy in flashes from the moment they drafted him. To be that guy all the time and to understand what that truly means, he's just been through so much. And that's kind of what the NBA is. You know, you go through all these different stages. You see those great teams who it goes, okay, you're going to make the playoffs. Maybe you get to the second round, you get knocked out. Maybe you get to the conference finals the next year. Then maybe you advance. And it takes all of those beatings, if you will, as you get your spirit crushed by seeing what playoff basketball is and learning from that and growing from that. And in addition, Embiid had a kid in the past year. So, like, he just had so many different things going on for him. And you see how he's grown as a person from that. And it's really all come together. Now, having Doc Rivers in the room is something that absolutely helps empower all of that. I mean, for Doc to be around the guys that he's been around in his whole career, I mean, Kevin Garnett, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Paul Pierce, who's going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame next year, Ray Allen, Hall of Famer. Like, he's been around so many different guys, even Kawhi Leonard in L.A. Like, he's just seen so many great players play in the league himself. Like, he's got everything you're looking for. Sam Cassell on his staff as well. Like, there's so many things with this team. And that's what makes it so great and so exciting is – when you want to talk about one person or one thing, there's so many people and things to get into. Like, Sam Cassell being kind of on the back burner with his team is a testament to how great they are in terms of experience, leadership, and Cassell absolutely brings that to the table too. So it's all those things together, and now you get Embiid playing at his best.
Man, you mentioned Sam Cassell. He was one heck of a player during his time in the league, winning two NBA titles with the Houston Rockets, and, of course, Doc Rivers with his experience as well. And we've seen, as you said before, Vince, the maturity and the leadership skills pick up this year with Joel Embiid. I want to stay now with his cohort, Ben Simmons. Ben has really picked up his game this year as well. Give me your take on Ben Simmons in his 2020-2021 season.
Yeah, so the defense is through the roof, and he takes pride in that, and that's a great thing, right? You want to see a guy, because defense is hard, and typically it's not a glory thing to do, you know? It's just not how the casual fan goes and watches a game. So for him, you know, you're going to get all these comments on social media all the time, and when people talk about you on the radio and all this different stuff, it's going to be a lot of negative because they just don't pay attention to defense. It just doesn't happen. People pay attention to, all right, who's got the ball? Who's passing the ball? Did they hit the shot or not? Like, outside of those highlight moments, it's not like, oh, he just cut off an outlet pass or he just stole a ball as a guy was going down the lane. And, like, his ability to tip that to somebody on his team that drives down the court and then scores, you know, you just kind of forget that he's in the play. Like, a lot of people seem to do that. So for him to take pride in defense, publicly campaign for defensive player of the year, and bring that attitude all the time. I mean, offensively, he comes and goes, and that's all a different discussion. But, like, defensively, he is so locked in all the time. And that's what the Sixers need. And in a lot of ways, that's who the Sixers are. You know, like, you want him to score, but they're a defensive team. I mean, Embiid, Simmons, Thybul, Danny Green, like, they have all these guys with the idea that they want to be able to have perimeter defense. They've got rim protection, Dwight Howard coming in, rim protection. Like, they've been more of a defensive team than an offensive team. And Simmons is right at the top of that. He's going to be first-team all-defensive player. He has a shot at defensive player of the year, although not really. It's probably going to Gobert. So, a testament to him. And for Simmons, yeah, you got to be thrilled with what he gives you on that side of the floor. And offensively, you know, it's more complicated, but he's a great player. He's a great player.
You mentioned about how complicated he is on the offensive side, Vince. I've got to ask you, one of the weaknesses of Ben Simmons' game when he was coming out of being drafted out of LSU was that he had not developed an outside shot. He had not developed a mid-range jumper. How far do you think he's away from really developing an outside game?
Well, I mean, he might never develop it. I think it's one of the things you have to accept at this point. He's been in the league long enough. There's been too much said about it. He's been called out publicly by Brett Brown last year. I mean, he just won't budge on it. Now, he has moments where he takes, like, he'll shoot a three-pointer here and there. But to believe that he's going to get comfortable to the point where he's shooting threes regularly in an NBA game, I just can't believe it at this point. Like, if it happens, great. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I just can't have that expectation anymore. It's just been in the league for too many years at this point to believe. Like, it's something so simple and fundamental is the problem. Are there ways where superstar players evolve their offensive games over the course of their careers? Like, absolutely, no doubt about it, you know? But it takes time to do that. But it's shooting. It's just shooting. It's the willingness to shoot the ball. It's not even demanding a certain percentage. Like, oh, is he going to be a 40% three-point shooter rather than a 37 or a 37 instead of a 34? Like, it's just, will he do it? And so I'm out on that. Like, I can't waste my time on it anymore. But what I look for with him is, offensively, it's the idea of you just want consistency with him attacking the basket, and can he get to that point where night in and night out he is what you see at times from, you know, Julius Randle or Zion Williamson. It's like this bigger guy that has this movement ability, and he can go and get himself to the basket and get a bucket when he needs to and distribute the ball as well. Like, these guys are essentially gigantic point guards, and he's been billed as one of those from the start. So, like, that's what you need from him. And that's the thing that you need to see every night. So that's what's tough about it. It's very frustrating because it just comes and goes.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, coming and going, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, they've enjoyed some great tandems over the years. We've seen the Dr. Julius Irving and Moses Malone and what they did together, winning an NBA championship and multiple playoff appearances. And then we've seen Charles Barkley also make an impact with the 76ers, Maurice Cheeks, also Bobby Jones with his great defensive play, Andrew Toney. And then we also seen it, of course, with the answer, Allen Iverson. So we've talked about Embiid and Simmons. How long do you think they can be together and to have consistency together and possibly win multiple championships, bring it to the city of brotherly love?
Well, the main question for that is really going to be Embiid and just how long is he healthy? Because you look at Simmons, and I mean, given his age, given the kind of player he is, given his health history, he's in really good shape. And he's the kind of guy that you could see. I mean, you see NBA players playing to their mid-30s, late-30s. Like, could Ben Simmons be one of those guys? Yeah. And for Simmons and Embiid, there's been a lot said over the years about the relationship. And, hey, do these guys get along? Does Ben Simmons want to go to L.A. was a big thing. I mean, as soon as he got drafted, that was a thing because whatever. But for those guys and all the fussing about that, they've learned to coexist. And it seems like, and this is part of the reason why this year's team is so much better, it feels like they've hit a new level in their relationship and understanding how they need each other. And Embiid pushes Simmons from time to time and will do that publicly. Like, it all seems to work, though. They seem to get each other, balance each other, and do that well. So for the relationship to be good, that's the number one thing, and that's okay. So given where that is, yeah, it's just how healthy is Embiid, how long is he healthy for, and also, and I mean, this is the other thing that really could change things. It's just if Ben Simmons lays an egg in the playoffs offensively, like that's been a big question for him. As much as I've been saying all this praise about him, Ben Simmons is a whole different animal in a bad way. And if he's not going to be the kind of guy that they expect him to be at this point, then he almost got traded for James Harden earlier this year. You know, like that was very close. They were the second option here. Daryl Morey was willing to pull the trigger on that. So with that being the case, I mean, if he's a rough playoffs this year and they don't feel quite as good about what he's going to be long term and what he's going to bring to Embiid when they really need it most, then he could be gone this offseason. So, I mean, we could be talking 5 years. We could be talking 5 weeks. Like, it's really a volatile thing based on just health and Simmons' playoff expectations.
All right. Well, speaking of expectations, and again, we talked about Joel, and we've also talked about Ben, but also there's been a great supporting cast with the 76ers this year. Seth Curry. Yeah, we know his brother Steph is really good, but Seth has been on fire this year with his great shooting ability. Danny Green's brought his championship experience with the Spurs and then winning a title last year with the Lakers. You mentioned Tobias Harris has been sensational this year. Dwight Howard, again, championship experience last year with the Lakers. He's been effective this year. Also, Shake Milton's been effective. But how about this rookie, Tyrese Maxey? He's been really good. Just kind of give me your thoughts on those players and then also mention any of your thoughts on the rookie Tyrese.
Well, yeah, so looking at the roster and what they've got now, I mean, the biggest thing is it's just how different it was than a year ago. I mean, for last year to have Al Horford and Josh Richardson on that team, and the whole idea was, hey, let's be as big as possible and let's bully people and all this different stuff. It was a fun idea. And, you know, people in the city were starting to buy it a little bit when it all first went down, but then you saw what the team was, and it was just awful. I mean, it was terrible basketball. So to see the kind of struggles that they had, you needed something else, and you didn't know what you could get. And the surprising thing, and really the best thing about all of this, is that this whole group of guys was able to come together in really a couple of weeks. I mean, it took no time. Like, Daryl Morey gets the job, and then within the first couple of weeks, it was like, bam, let me just fix the whole roster. Here's Danny Green. Here's Seth Curry. Let's go. And so to bring those guys in and have that kind of legitimate NBA three-point shooting that they've needed in the worst way, you know, going back to a couple of years ago, they got Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli from the buyout market, and they became like cult heroes, these guys, just because they could hit a three-pointer at a reasonable clip in the playoffs. Like, it was crazy. So for Seth Curry and Danny Green, it's a monster upgrade from that. And then you see how it falls in with the rest of the team, and to have this kind of shooting to work with Ben Simmons and how he looks better. And it's freed up because those guys can just spot up and shoot. It's freed up Tobias Harris to be more active, and now he's better. And so the whole starting five, it's one of the best in the league. And if you look at certain numbers, they're the best starting five in the NBA. So that tells you something. And then when you go to the bench and certain guys on the bench, yeah, like Maxey is fun, man. I mean, it's just so nice to see a kid that is so creative in the ways that he can get to the basket. And he's just fun, like something about him. He's such a bouncy guy, and it's just enjoyable to watch him play. Like, if I didn't know anything about basketball and never seen a game in my life, and I just sat down and I was like, look at this guy, I'd be like, oh, I want to see more of this guy. Like, this is just entertainment, you know? So I'm a huge fan of Maxey. The city has really come to love him in a short amount of time. And it's just a question of, what does he bring you in the playoffs? Do they put him in at all? Like, does he get 5 minutes here or there? Like, we don't know what his role is going to be. It probably won't be much. Looking long-term at what he's going to bring to this team, he's the kind of guy that they needed. Like, when they drafted Markelle Fultz, it was, okay, it's this springy ball handler that can score from all three levels, and Maxey's showing you some signs that he could be that guy. So if he's growing into somebody that can fit next to Ben Simmons in the starting five real soon, then that is a huge get, especially where they got him in the first round. So what a hit from Daryl Morey in a year where he's got nothing but hits, man. Daryl Morey's putting out a greatest hits album this year.
Yeah, he is. I mean, like you mentioned, that starting five is outstanding. And, of course, you know, Tyrese Maxey, man, definitely a candidate for the Rookie of the Year. Definitely got is getting some strong consideration. I want to say, before we talk more about Daryl Morey, you mentioned, Vince, about defense. The New York Knicks have been at the top of their game on the defensive side this year. Why haven't the Sixers, in your opinion, why haven't the Sixers received as much recognition for their defense as the Knicks?
I think part of it's just newness, right? Like the Knicks, it's like, oh, wow, the Knicks aren't awful. Look at this. This is interesting. Okay, oh, wow, look at Julius Randle. He's really going off and having a career year. And so for them, I just think it's that flash factor, right? Like it's going to be, wow, I just can't believe that they're actually playing well and this is how they're doing it. So for them, they had some good win streaks during the course of the year. I think they had a point where they won like 9 of 10 or something like that. So they've had moments where you could really lock in and you're trying to figure out who they are, so you're going to put more time and thought into it. But for the Sixers, as much as they've been through a million different iterations even in the past 3 years, I mean, really, like they've changed so much in the past couple of years, but they've been a defensive team the whole way. You know, like they've been a defensive team in terms of wanting to build out that identity for quite some time. And so to have that kind of that ideal baked into who you are already, I think on some level people just know and they're not as excited about it. It's not as interesting. But when it comes playoff time, that's what you need. And for the Sixers, that's what they're going to win with. And so that's what you get excited for. It's that defense.
Yep, as they say, offense puts butts in the seats, but defense wins championships. And so far, the Knicks have done it this year. And the 76ers, as you said, they've been doing it for a while, and they're continuing. They've done it during this season. We talked a lot about Daryl Morey. He's the president of basketball operations for the Sixers. We know about what he did with the Houston Rockets. He was a former NBA executive of the year. The Sixers hired him in November 2nd of 2020. When you found out that the Sixers were going to be hiring Daryl, what were your thoughts?
It was incredible. Just because they felt like a team that didn't deserve Daryl Morey at all. They just didn't deserve him. They didn't deserve Doc Rivers. Like, it was hard to believe that they wanted to come here because the organization was a joke, and trying to figure out what ownership was and how much they cared about basketball and how much would they be willing to spend and all these different things. There were just so many questions about what the future of the team was going to be. And for those guys to not just get pursued, but like actively want to come to Philly and be there together was just, it was incredible. I mean, it was incredible because you knew as soon as those guys came in the door, as bad as everything had been with, I mean, even if people didn't like Hinkie, whether you liked him or not, there's questions about what he would be if the team was good. You had Brian Colangelo, who was awful. You went through Elton Brand, who wasn't ready for the job. So you had top-of-the-line people. Like, having a proven general manager that was willing to make big, aggressive moves to go and win, which wasn't worried by conventions and all those different things, it gave you such a compelling sense of leadership and, like I was talking about before, like legitimacy. And so it changed everything. I mean, the expectations for the team got significantly higher the moment he got in the door, and he quickly delivered on it. I mean, again, to make those trades that he did in just a couple of weeks, and it wasn't like, oh, let's get rid of Al Horford and Josh Richardson, and what we're going to do is we're just going to get cap space or expiring contracts, rather, and like we'll figure this out in a year, and this is just going to be like a gap year. No. He was like, we're going to get actual NBA players, and we're going to fix this roster up, and we're going to do it right now. We can win right now. And it set the city on fire. Like, the excitement right now in Philadelphia is so real. And it's so much fun because it feels earned. And Morey is the guy at the center of that. And he's loving every second of it, man. He's out on social media, tweeting at fans and stuff. Like, he's having a time. So he's enjoying it as much as the fans are. And that makes it even better. So it's just a really interesting experience.
Yeah, I mean, he's already set the city. As you said, he's already set the city on fire, making some big moves. I mean, acquiring Seth Curry and Danny Green, signing Dwight Howard, and then drafting Tyrese Maxey. That was pretty much the icing on the cake right there. I want to stay with Daryl for a moment. We talked earlier about Ben Simmons could possibly being traded to Houston. There was the talks at the beginning, during the offseason and in the beginning of the year, of James Harden maybe coming to Philadelphia. Why was it the move made for James Harden to come to Philly?
Well, part of it is you just got to look at the package and it's, okay, are you willing to meet what Brooklyn did? And it just seems like they weren't, you know. I mean, Brooklyn gave up a lot to go and get James Harden, which makes sense because they're all in. They're all in right now, and they got to give up everything. But for the Sixers, you don't know what this team really looks like with Embiid and Simmons and a regular roster around them. I mean, by the time Harden had gotten dealt, he'd played like 8 games for the Rockets. It was still so early in the season. So trying to get a feel is like, okay, I've seen on the outside what it looks like when Elton Brand is the GM and Brett Brown is the coach and what these guys look like. But if we're going to run things differently, I got to see what they look like with me. So the rush to get Ben Simmons out the door really wasn't there. You know, it's something you had to explore. It's something you had to look into because that's a championship piece. And Ben Simmons is something that you give up if you think that's going to put you over the hump. But it just wasn't enough. And so for Morey to not go all in and be desperate to give Ben Simmons away as much as he was eager to get Harden in the door, it just led to a point where they couldn't go and make the move. So I don't blame him for it. It's unfortunate it didn't work out. Same thing with Kyle Lowry. I mean, there's been people who are like, how come he didn't trade for Kyle Lowry? Well, nobody traded for Kyle Lowry. And the reports were that the asking price was really high. So if Toronto's asking too much, that's on them. You know, like it takes two people to make the deal. Well, in the NBA, I guess it makes like 5 people because it's, you know, it's this team, it's that team, it's the players, it's their agents. Like everybody's got to be in agreement about how everything's going to go. So with that being the case, like in this situation, it just didn't line up. So it would have been nice or it would have been interesting, I guess, if they'd gone and made that move and Philly would have been on fire if it did happen. But they didn't make it, and that's totally okay. You know, you look at where the Sixers are now, you see where they play out, you see what Simmons does this year in the playoffs, and if he doesn't live up to expectations, I think he knows there's a possibility he gets dealt, and he'll just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't make that move to try to get Kyle Lowry because, I mean, Tyrese Maxey has been fantastic this year, so I don't think the Lowry deal would have made sense for the Sixers. Harden, it could go either way, but we're seeing what the Sixers have done. So they're currently in our first – they're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. I want to talk now about the coaches. Last year during the bubble, Brett Brown was the head coach of the 76ers, and God bless Brett Brown. You know, the first 4 years with the Sixers missed the playoffs, the 2017 and 2018, they lost in the conference semifinals. Then in the bubble last year, they lost in the first round. Management, you know, parts ways with him, and now they bring in Doc Rivers, a gentleman that's won an NBA championship with the Celtics, and as you mentioned earlier, coached Hall of Famers Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and even before that, he was in Orlando, had, you know, lost in the first round in the playoffs. But Rivers, Vince, he carries a history of having top players, the expectations being very high and, you know, falling short. We saw it with the Clippers, Lob City, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, didn't work out. Just kind of give me your thoughts on when you found out that Daryl Morey was hiring Doc Rivers as the Sixers head coach.
Well, yeah, and it kind of goes back to that idea when Morey got hired as well. It just felt like the legitimacy and potential for the team and the window, they'd all gotten so much better because you didn't feel like you were necessarily going to be throwing a year away, which is what the initial expectation was for everybody. It just felt like the contracts were so bad, the team was in such a rut. They had nosedived so hard from where they felt like they were on the upswing with Jimmy Butler and all that. So it was as exciting as could be because you could tell that Brett Brown was outmatched. At some point, he was outmatched. The players were starting to tune him out. I mean, he had publicly called out Ben Simmons to shoot threes. And the whole thing was with Brett Brown and Ben Simmons, they had a relationship. Oh, Brett knew Ben Simmons when he was a little kid. He knew his dad coaching Team Australia. And so this is going to be such a great relationship. He's going to get so much out of Ben. And he went to bat for Ben early in his career. At the very beginning, Brett Brown on any public appearance that he made would be like, Ben Simmons is a point guard. He is a point guard. Let me say it again. I'll say it in French. I'll say it in German. Point guard. Like he was nonstop about it. And it was the idea of he was going to bat for his guy. And this was the beginning of building that relationship with an up-and-coming superstar. But by the end, when he's calling him out to shoot threes and he's not shooting threes at all, and Brett Brown doesn't do anything. He doesn't bench Ben Simmons. Like he doesn't come out and call him out again. Like, nothing happened. And you just went, yeah, this is over. Like, this is not going anywhere. And for Brett Brown, you could have made the argument for a couple of years that he should have been gone from the job, but people wanted to see him play with an actual real playoff roster and have those opportunities, and it never came together for him. It never came together. And so for where everything went with him, I mean, it was time. And when you get Doc Rivers and then bring him in, it just felt like it was a whole new era for this team in a legitimate title-winning capacity. Like, you felt like you graduated. And so that's the thing that Doc Rivers brought to this team, and you see the effects. The chemistry is through the roof. The way he talks about the bench and tries to keep those guys locked in, the sense of loyalty that he's got from them, and that's what he's built at so many different places. It's just getting the whole experience is so nice because it's something we haven't seen in Philadelphia in a long time from our basketball team. And so you just love everything that Doc's bringing to the table, and the fact that he wanted to be here when everything was as messy as it had been, a testament to Embiid and Simmons and how great those players are, because without those guys, they're not here. I mean, there's just no reason for those guys to be here.
Yeah, you're right about that, and definitely Doc Rivers brings a whole new element to the 76ers, and we've seen it firsthand in this season with the 76ers being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So now, Vince, the stage is set for the 76ers. They're in the playoffs. They're the number one seed. The last 2 years have been very interesting for the Sixers in the postseason. 2 years ago, Kawhi Leonard, need I say more, got the lucky bounce in the shot, and we saw how Joel walked off the court. It was it's a moment that no one will ever forget. And then last season in the bubble, the Sixers were swept by the Boston Celtics. This year, they're in a different state of mind. They're the number one seed, and they've got the competition. I'm looking at it. The Knicks will pose a problem, but Milwaukee will pose a problem. But Brooklyn, everyone is talking about Brooklyn. Everyone is talking about KD. Everybody's talking about Kyrie and James Harden. But in your opinion, Vince, what makes Philadelphia the team to beat in the East? What makes it different this year from the previous two seasons when Philly was in the playoffs?
Well, the biggest difference, I mean, it is that leadership standpoint just from the top down. With Morey, with Doc Rivers, with Embiid, like, you see all of that. You see the veteran experience that they have now, having Danny Green on the roster who has won titles. Like, that matters. They really haven't had people of consequence on the team before. So Danny Green, Dwight Howard, just coming off a title, like, those things matter. So having playoff experience now as a team, having all the chemistry as a team as well, they've got all of the, like, intangible elements that you're looking for. You've got your MVP candidate. They've got a strong defensive identity. They have Thybul, who could very well be first team all defense, and he's not a starter. Like, that's amazing, you know? Like, that's a testament to how great of a player he is. So they've got all the right builds that you're looking for, and when you consider there's no, you know, because for the Nets, the juggernaut that makes them is just the raw talent, but they haven't been playing together. I mean, those guys have played what? Harden, Kyrie, and Durant have played 7 games together, I believe. So, like, you can believe in talent, and I get that. Like, I'm going to be nervous about the talent, but when they just haven't played together, and now they got to figure it all out between the three of them in playoff series, like, and who knows what kind of shape they're actually in physically along the way. I mean, it's just one of those things where maybe next year feels more like the year for Brooklyn at this point, and they're going to be competitive, and if they get the Sixers in the conference finals, it's one of those things where it's going to go at least 6, probably. But, man, I think that chemistry matters throughout the course of the season, that familiarity you get, and it's talked about a lot. And for the Nets, people have just wanted to ignore that, and I can't quite do it here in the moment. So I think the Sixers, for them, it's the path, it's the intangibles, it's the quality of play they've given you at all the different spots that you need. Like, they just have all the pieces, and the East is open, and they're at the top. So they're a great home team, and it feels like they're going to the finals, man. It really does.
All right, I'll put you on the spot on this one, Vince. Who do you see the Sixers playing in the Eastern Conference Finals?
So, well, for right now, I'm going to say the Bucks. I just think the Bucks have given the Nets a lot of trouble over the course of the year, and the way they're built, they can play some defense out there. So I think they can give the Nets a hard time. And at the very least, they'll tire the Nets out. But for the Bucks, I mean, they've been a great team for a couple of years. Same coach, same system, all that different stuff. The biggest change is they got better and added Drew Holiday. So I'm going to go with that team right now. Like, until I see the Nets playing together in the playoffs and playing well and knowing how healthy they are, I'm going to lean with the team that has all the other things. So right now, let's say Sixers-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals.
How many games does it go?
Oh, Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes.
Well, I want to say four because that would make me feel good, and Embiid was wearing that sweet chain at the end of the game the other day. So I want to believe in that energy. But let's say that's going six. It's going six because Giannis is just such a freak. He's given them problems at times. He's put up 50 in a game against them before. So they're going to win a couple, but Sixers are the better team. They're just the better team, and so I would lean on them going in six.
All right, who do you see the Sixers playing in the finals?
Oh, wow. Well, ask me after the play-in. If the Lakers get out of the play-in tournament, it's the we'll see, because LeBron had the whole ankle injury again. So we'll figure all of that out. But the Lakers are still scary. Otherwise, I mean, honestly, I don't know. Like, there's so many injuries all over the place, and it's just such a weird thing. The Jamal Murray injury obviously was huge, and if he wasn't hurt, I would tell you the Nuggets. I would easily tell you the Nuggets. You look at the Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell's been hurt, and Conley's been hurt, and, like, that's a whole problem for them. For the Suns, they're healthy, but they're young, and it just does that inexperience. How does that translate in a playoff series or multiple playoff series in a grinding West? Like, I just have a hard time believing they're going to come out of it. So the Clippers, like, it's really tough to figure out the West. I guess my gut feeling right now is still the Lakers because I'm just not going to count them out until they're done. After that, I'll put Clippers at two, Suns at three, and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, the West is just always stacked with talent. I like Phoenix for some reason. Chris Paul, no matter where Chris Paul goes, he makes every team better, no matter where he plays, and he's made them better this year with Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and also DeAndre Ayton. All right, so that's Vince Quinn. He is he works for Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia, which is owned by CBS Sports Radio. So Vince, just tell everybody what you do with your position at WIP.
Well, yeah, so I'm all over the place, right? So I do some stuff at WIP every couple of weeks. They might need a guy. They'll be like, hey, what are you up to on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. or something? I'll go, hey, well, yeah, I'm around. I'll come on through. So I'll pop in from WIP to time to time. That's where I grew up pretty much. Like, that's how I got started in the radio business, and so I still keep in touch with them. My main thing these days is with CBS Sports Radio. So, yeah, totally in the same company, but – that's a national show, and I do that every week. So that's a Saturday into Sunday, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 to 3 Pacific. And I talk about everything, you know. It's a whole national show. So that's every week. That's the Vince Quinn Show. That's the easiest way to find me. And then I'm running a podcast studio. So we have all sorts of podcasts that come in and out. They record their shows with our studio, professional mics, professional engineering, sound production, all that different stuff, coaching. We do all of it. So that's for shows that either want to come in the studio or wherever you're located. If you want somebody to listen to your stuff and just give you feedback on how the show's going, we do that too. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you got a podcast, we'll help you. And it's Last Out Media. So lastoutmedia.com is where you can find us. And that's my baby right now. That's where I'm spending all my time, man.
Awesome, man. That's great to hear, man, helping broadcasters and podcasters take their game to the next level. And also, you do something with the fan-controlled football league. You do something called FCF Owner's Box. Just tell everybody about that website.
Well, yeah, so fan-controlled football is like a beautiful little crazy experiment where they have actual fans, like just regular people anywhere, calling plays for real football teams, like actual players. A lot of these guys are Division One or Division Two, so like quality players. And fans call the plays. Fans draft the teams each week, believe it or not. So you're drafting players, you're calling plays, and we're covering the league. So we're covering it. It's at FCF Owner's Box for now. We have to change the name, and that's a long story that I won't bother you with, but we explain on the podcast. So you can listen on the podcast and figure that out. But for now, we are FCF Owners Box, and you can find us at FCFOwnersBox.com, the FCF Owners Box on Twitter, and MySpace. We started a MySpace page because it was hilarious, and we figured, why not? So MySpace.com/FCFOwnersBox. There you go.
Oh, wow. MySpace. I tell you what, people forget about MySpace, but it's still around and it's still a viable tool, man. Don't count out MySpace. So, Vince, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Tell everybody once again where they can find you in reference to your program on CBS Sports Radio. Anything you want to plug in terms of WIP, the FCF. Owner's Box, as well as your company, Last Out Media, whether it be where they can find those outlets on social media, where they can find you on social media, and any websites you have, you know, you can feel free to plug those as well.
Yeah, so I'm working with a million different projects these days, right? Like with Last Out Media, we've got all these different shows that come in and out, and I work on those shows in different capacities, so I'm involved in a lot of stuff. Easiest way to keep up with it with the radio, the FCF stuff, the podcasting, all of that. Easiest way is to just find me, follow me at It's Vince Quinn. It's all one word. It's Vince Quinn. Twitter, Instagram. I'm very big on Instagram these days. I've decided, like, in the last 2 weeks, it's just kind of clicked with me. So I'm spending a lot of time there now. But Twitter, Instagram, It's Vince Quinn. And that'll give you all the Vince Quinn you can handle.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Vince Quinn. He is a host for CBS Sports Radio. Also, he has his own business with Last Out Media, helping broadcasters, podcasters take their game to the next level with a variety of things such as editing and voiceovers. And also, check out FCF Owner's Box, everything to keep you plugged in with the Fan Control Football League. Vince, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Hey, Ed, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been fun.
Same here. I've had a lot of fun as well. We'll be back with more right after this.
He was the guy we talked about that's on the spot. Ball pressure is going to be directed at him. Was Mason Plumlee really trying to go behind his back?
Well,
yeah, but Mason Plumlee?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Got to know your limitations.
He's a pick-and-roll guy, I thought.
And that was a breakout season for Denver. After what he did in the playoffs last year, garnered much more attention. Watch this again. He posts up off the block, so you figure your work is done, but then he backs you down.
Appearing in the NBA and scoring 20 a night.
Incredible family. Incredibly nice people as well. Some people leave early and it works for them. Some, it's a little tougher and a little more circuitous route.
11 turnovers. They average just under 15. Embiid has it on.
Have her back home. It's going to be a tremendous year for the WNBA and hopefully for Mrs. Parker.
Some rhythm here in this game. And streaking down the floor and scoring Tyrese Maxey. We
sound with a little bit of.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
Toughness.
Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today. Kite Fest Louisiana is back May 22nd and 23rd at the West Baton Rouge Soccer Complex, exit 151, Highway 415 at Rosedale Road. Kite flying, kite design competition, kids kite making workshop, huge fireworks at dusk Saturday night, food vendors on site, and professional kite teams, all at this free family-friendly event, May 22nd and 23rd. No ice chest or pets, please. Sponsored by Entergy, Placid Refining, Faircom, and West Baton Rouge Parish. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your trip today.
Jake and Christine.
Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi Advanced Security protects your connected devices, helps you avoid sketchy sites, and sends real-time alerts so you're in the know. Learn more at cox.com/pano. Restrictions apply. Copyright 2020 Cox Communications, Inc. All rights reserved.
Knew they needed help renovating their dream home. As a Pella advisor, I make sure every step of getting new windows and doors is smooth, including setting you up with our Pella Care Guarantee. It covers everything from product to installation with some of the strongest warranties in the industry.
Help elevate the look of your home with special offers from Pella of Baton Rouge. Add in our industry-leading reputation and one thing becomes clear. It's a perfect time for Pella. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
Hey, imagine if all your frustrations about advertising your business could be solved right now. You should know that podcast listeners are more engaged and higher converting than any other advertising medium. So try AdHub today and reap the rewards of Spreaker's self-advertising platform. It makes it as effortless as ever to be heard by thousands, regardless of the listening app they use. Visit Spreaker.com/AdHub. That's Spreaker.com/AdHub. And start using your advertising dollars in an impactful way.
All right. right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Vince Quinn, host for the National Sports Radio Network, CBS Sports Radio, and also local station Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia. All right, before we head on out of here, again, just want to give everybody quickly the playoff matchups for the in the first round of the 2021 NBA playoffs. Let's start off on the Eastern Conference side. The number one seed Philadelphia 76ers will go up against the 8 seed Washington Wizards. The number 2 seed Brooklyn Nets will go up against the 7 seed Boston Celtics. The 3 seed Milwaukee Bucks will go up against the 6 seed Miami Heat. Seed New York Knicks will go up against the 5 seed Atlanta Hawks. Meanwhile, on the Western Conference side, the number 1 seed Utah Jazz will go up against the 8 seed Memphis Grizzlies. The number 2 seed Phoenix Suns will go up against the 7 seed Los Angeles Lakers. The 3 seed Denver Nuggets will go up against the 6 seed Portland Trail Blazers. And the 4 seed Los Angeles Clippers will go up against the 5 seed Dallas Mavericks. Those are your 2021 NBA playoffs first round matchup. Now, I know before I get on out of here, people are going to be asking me, so Ed, who do you think is going to be playing in the NBA finals? Well, I'm going to give you my pick right now. I will say that the Philadelphia 76ers will represent the Eastern Conference, and the Western Conference is going to be tough, but I like the Phoenix Suns. For some reason, I think this is going to be Chris Paul's year. This is the year he's going to get it done. He should be an MVP candidate. Again, no matter what team he's played on, he's made every team better. And I don't know, that's just who I see. I like, again, coming out of the East, I like Philadelphia. And coming out of the West, I like the Phoenix Suns. That's all I'm going to give you for right now. But hope you enjoy the first round matchups. And again, thank you so much for tuning into this week's program. And once again, a big special thank you to Vince Quinn, host for the National Sports Radio Network, CBS Sports Radio, and also local station Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia. Until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim.